Good evening, Patriots. You know, this morning I was talking a lot about a couple things this morning. One was a very obvious statement, was the stewarding, being a steward of God's gifts in this world. And as that message goes, it inflamed a number of people, because my discussion was around the relationships that we build towards, I was specifically talking about hemp and pot. And the principal issue there is people can choose what they want, but when we become dependent upon something to achieve a relationship with God or overcome certain things in our life and we don't put God first, it's not stewarding. It's using it as a crutch. And that I hold to. And addictions of any kind are that way. They start to consume us, and they become a form of idolatry in our life that we can't seem to get rid of. And it then becomes an excuse or a justification for how things are. Religions are very much the same way. We have to be very careful, because as they become identifiers for who we are not worshiping God. We are worshiping a church. We're worshiping a priest. We're worshiping a pastor. We're worshiping a minister. And it is not through them we get to God. It is through Christ that we return to Father. I take things a very simple way in life. I keep my ears open. I listen very carefully. I look and keep my eyes open to what is presented. When I am saying things, when I hear things said in counter to people's opinions, or if I make an opinion and, for example, one of these words, heretic, comes up, that's a religious term of a very specific meaning. Heretics were used to put people in the dungeons and torture chambers in the Catholic Church. It was used very specifically to those that spoke against the Pope. It was very specific to a torture and a method that they would be accused of by the public and condemned. And when we get to those sorts of discussions and those sorts of words, that's not listening. That's condemnation, and ultimately it gets to something even worse. People react when their faith that they have in something is, and that belief structure that they have in something gets shaken, and they begin to have to face the fact that their world is no longer as they thought. The difficulty is that people want to retain their beliefs and don't want to listen. And so they begin to strike out and accuse others of things that they themselves are likely guilty of. God has warned us very clearly about that. He's been very clear about being careful how we judge. I welcome discussion always with people. I welcome to hear their voices. I also have my opinions, which I'm very strong about. And one of those opinions that I'm very strong about is that my relationship with God is very true. And I also know that He gave me reason, which means it gives me the right to question things, and that through my relationship with God, things will become clear. And so that's the wonderful thing about that, is as we live in a world of sovereignty, we're allowed to listen to the many, and we're allowed to understand different points of view, because it's through that, with that, this multicolored tapestry that God has created creates perfection. I'm going to play a clip for you here, which is very much in par with a lot of this. And it's the way that God works, which is rather profound. And this clip is from Bill and Gloria Gaither, and it's called Amazing Grace. And it's a beautiful passage to reflect on how God uses history to create amazing things and rewrite truths that we assume to be fixed. So let's give this a listen.
This has been an awesome night, isn't everyone? This one. How many of you like Negro spirituals? An old black lady down south showed me something about the Negro spirituals, and I want to share it with you. You know, the black folk down south had more sense by accident than some of us have on purpose. You know what I mean? You didn't hear what I said. I heard an old black lady say, "Son, if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it." Think about that for a minute. But did you know, she said to me, "Did you know all, just about all Negro spirituals are written on the black notes of the piano?" This is absolutely true. You can go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual, just play the black notes on the piano. You look skeptical. Now, you can't see it out there, but I want you to watch. Watch. There are five black notes on the piano. And those same five black notes just keep recurring. And you can go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual. Just play the black notes. Watch. You know that? Every time I feel the spirit. Just black notes. Watch this. That's because the slaves didn't come to America with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. That's somebody else's scale, okay? All they had in their musical scale were those five black notes. We know it in music as the pentatonic scale. And they built the power and pathos of the Negro spiritual on five notes. When you study music, you also come across what are known as white spirituals. Did you know that? And they are white composers who work with those that scale. In early America, they used to call this the slave scale. And I'm going to play for you what some musicologists think is the most famous white spiritual built on the slave scale or just the black notes. Anybody tonight know who wrote that song? I heard it, a man by the name of John Newton. But do you know what John Newton did before he became a Christian? He was the captain of a slave ship. And many believe heard this melody that sounds very much like a West African sorrow chant and wrote the words "Amazing Grace" and set his words to a slave melody. I looked up that song. I believe God wanted that song written just the way it was written, just so that we would be reminded that as Christians, whether black or white, free or bond, in his eyes, we're all connected. We are connected. And we are connected by God's amazing grace. We are connected by God's amazing grace. Woo! I looked up that song in the Library of Congress. I went to the Library of Congress, I looked up that song. And wherever you see it authentically printed, you know what it says? Words, John Newton. Melody, unknown. tell the Lord, when I get to heaven, I want to meet Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but boy, I want to meet that slave called unknown. And I recorded that song the way I hear it. When I sing it, I still hear the sounds of the slave ships in the water. I want to sing it for you the way John Newton probably first heard it, coming up out of the belly of the ship. Listen.
Amazing story when you think about it, that a slave ship owner ends up writing one of the greatest spiritual hymns of all time. And it's something that it's really interesting as well, that that story tonight, that video tonight, was sent to me by Jim Pugh just before the show. It's powerful. And the way God works is powerful. We're reminded constantly by the way he brings us together, the way he uses events of the past, and how he uses history in its most extreme way to bring healing and unity to the world. We are small, and in our moments of trying to judge and not listen, we all fall. And every one of us, at one point or another, falls. But the beauty of the way God works is he knows we fall. The principle of Christ sacrificing for us, to absolve us of sin, to return us back to the perfection of the beginning. It doesn't excuse us from accountability, but it continues to absolve those stumbles and those sins that we make so we can retain that connection with God as intended. Our strength in this time is through Him, through Christ to the Father. And it's through this process that we continually walk and get closer to God to find our connection with God. I get to a place anymore where the chatter of the nonsense of things, we're here to have a discussion. We're here to hear each other, because there's many, many points of this quilt that God has created, and there's many perspectives on what is being told. But there's also some very principal issues as we go along that we're told to be aware of. Principle, one of those top issues that goes over and over again is idolatry. And idolatry isn't just limited to the idols of, say, the old religions. It's the things that catch us in this time. And it's the things that we have to continue to listen to each other and to grow. What I can't stand, and I said it earlier tonight, is when people start to use religion as a division. And we've seen it a lot lately, especially when we get into topics. We start hearing the calling out, which I've seen on the digital boards, which is disgusting to me, of Catholics calling out Protestants or trying to take precedence over them. Do you realize how old that fight is? Do you realize how many people have died in that stupid fight? God didn't have a religion. He gave us love, and He sacrificed His Son for us to find unity. While I have a lot of tolerance to hear arguments, I don't have tolerance to hear the presentations of how one religion is better than another. This is a true story, what I'm going to tell you. And this is something I think is very hard for people of Christian faith to accept. I've had more open discussions of faith without anybody getting upset, discussing the differences in belief and respecting the positions that we are at with Muslims than I have with Christians. And I mean what I just said. That disturbs me greatly. Because within the Christian faith, there is this constant division of churches. It's constant division of division. And it's centered on the religion, not the faith. The beauty of that story we just heard is a reminder that as there is no religion, there is even something greater. There's an appreciation for the trials that God gave us with all the imperfections to create something so amazing. A hymn written by a slave ship owner that ends up carrying God's message above all. What is that to say now? Are we supposed to suggest that somehow that God is using a white person to advocate a white religion? Because that's where it will go with some. And that's not the case at all. That's small-mindedness. We live in such an amazingly divided world right now. And we're witnessing so many people walk away from God. And at the same time, we're starting to see the churches pull people apart from one another. The churches are not who we worship. Our faith is not defined by a church. churches or organization. When we start to worship the idols of a church, we're not following God. We're following the idols of the church. Christ isn't coming back as a Catholic, as a Protestant, as a Lutheran. Christ is coming back as a Son of God. And so the whole issue here is to have the open-heartedness to accept Christ as King. Nothing in between. And through him, we return to the Father. We are all deeply scarred by the way that this world has done its magic to divide each one of us, and every one of us has our scars. And it's a point that, you know, it's a discussion I had the other day, in fact, of asking, really, can we heal? Because in the end, it's a big question of whether we can really heal and be as God intended us to be. You know, one of the things that I actually know is being discussed is that there are religions that are so deeply corrupted that they're so concerned about when those truths come out that people will walk away from God. And that's probably true, because when people are built their faith on religions and not the relationship with God, they won't know what to do when the architecture of the church goes away. When we have our relationship with Christ, nothing can get in the way of that. So it's a time, for me, when I walk this path, it's very simple. My relationship is not with the church. So my relationship is with Christ and God, and I just keep it simple. And I know that God gave me reason and my right to think free, my right to question, my right to put to him even questions I have of Scripture, to put those into discussion, because I know that God will speak, and that's just how it works. So, God's laws are simple. Love your neighbor as you wish to be loved. Help those in need. And give voice to the innocent that have no voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we come together to reflect very deeply on the true strength and foundation of what you give us, to detach ourselves from the worship of the church as it is today, to reform our relationship with you, through Christ, and in the process, reinvigorate the church as Christ intended. We walk a difficult path, with so much lies and twisted truths that come from the institutions that should be speaking your word. Those same institutions leading people off the edge, and worse, as the congregations that say nothing but follow blindly. We pray for them, that they will see clearly and to return to you as we walk with you in each and every step. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. A lot of things are coming. Little by little, truths get revealed. The deeper we go down, the harder it will be to face. The only thing that'll carry you through will be your relationship through Christ to God and the strength of your faith that comes from that. So keep your head up. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil and never relent. keep pressing into the fight. Keep your prayers up. And above all, know that God is with you. He will never forsake you. And in the end, as we know, God will win. I'll see you in the morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now.
Sometimes when belonging becomes something to fight.